Yeah, Brother John has asked me to take the lesson tonight. So I thought it'd be good to look at Romans, the 12th chapter, and center on verse 2. But let's read verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And of course, this is what our aim is, that we will be holy to God, fully set apart for Him and His work, His purpose, so that we can be faithful here and then we'll be faithful there in doing His will and His purpose forever. So we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which says we must form our hearts. And he says we need to be holy, acceptable to God, and it's reasonable. It's logical because God is the owner. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world. So that's, of course, why we are to come out from the world, which is the word church. And he says, then once you come out of the world, then be transformed. And of course, that has to be talking about the heart. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And once we are transformed, we'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's will is good, it's acceptable, and it is complete. So the way in which we're transformed then into the image of Christ depends on our renewing our minds. So in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 23, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 23. We need to acknowledge that this is the mind, the new mind, which is 3563, which is not the same as the phroneo mind, which is to fence in or draw in. This is the mind that God gives when we have repentance. So, Ephesians 4, verse 23. He gives us this mind, but like Timothy, who was not using the spiritual gift that God gave him, we need to be using this gift that God gives to us. And Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right, he told us to renew our mind, and here he tells us to renew the spirit of our mind. So we can lose spirit, or we can have a great deal of spirit, and possibly that's in line with zeal, but we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So Romans, the seventh chapter and verse 6, he talks about this kind of mind in this chapter. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, the being dead wherein we were held. That's your law of Moses. And he's talking about we Jews, and we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. So this spirit of our mind is the new spirit that he gives us, and we need to renew that spirit. We need to use it and stir it up. In Romans, the eighth chapter and verse 2, we need a greater and greater determination that we will do all the will of God. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So here is a law of the Spirit of life. So that's the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, and that's the one that he gives us once we get into Christ. In John, the 17th chapter, and verse 19, John 17 and verse 19, Jesus said, and for their sake, talking about the apostles, I sanctify myself. I make myself set apart for the Father, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So this is how we are going to be fully set apart for God. And Jesus made himself fully set apart for God, so that he would be an example and show us how to do that. So Jesus consciously set his mind to sanctify himself. So no doubt he renewed his mind to be holy. And that's one of the ways that we can renew our mind, and that is to become more and more set apart for God and his work, and less set apart for vanities or anything else. So Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, that's from the waters of baptism, to walk the new life. If you are risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, spiritual things, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. God is spirit, he's not flesh. God is training us in laws that will last eternally, which obviously are the laws he follows, and everyone else with him follows those laws. So he's training us in these laws, and we need to have our minds set on these things above. And then in verse 2, he says, set your affection, and that's this word mind here, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And this is where our minds need to be. We need to set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. And notice he doesn't say, set your mind more on things above than on the earth. He says, set your affection, your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. So we need to be thinking spiritually at all times. And of course, it takes time for us to grow to be able to do that, which is all a part of renewing our mind. So the phrase here, set your mind on things above, is literally translated, exercise your mind. That's the phroneo, not the mind we started out with. It's to rein those thoughts in. So there should be an intense interest in godly, eternal, spiritual things. Well, this involves concern, obedience, sincere attention to the things of God and God's purpose. So we can find the correct pattern for this improvement of the mind in the surrounding scriptures in Colossians 3 and other related scriptures in the New Testament. All right, John, the sixth chapter, verse 63, Jesus points to the power of the spiritual world. John 6, verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the spirit is what quickens. The word of God, the words Jesus spoke to us, these are the things that are important. And so we need to set our mind then on things above, namely on the spiritual things that the scriptures speak to us about in the New Testament. In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verse 14, Hebrews 5, verse 14, we can exercise the mind here, and here he calls it the senses. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that's the complete people, even those who by reason of use, so it's exercise, have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. All right, this mind that we have here is the one that discerns between what is good and what is evil. And of course, we have to have God's word to show us what is good and what is evil. Because left to ourselves, we're going to be like all men and we'll choose the wrong things. So we need to be looking in Scripture for what is good and what is evil. And we need to exercise our minds in discerning between these two things. This is exercising the mind in judgment. So not only in setting our mind on spiritual things, we need to set our minds on judgment of what is good and what is evil. Remember, Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Guess what he set his mind on? So in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 12, in exercising our minds, we should know those minds. So this is the new again, not the phroneo. And we are trained by the world to think the way the world thinks. And so we need help to be able to have the right thinking, the right mind, the right exercise And we need to see the pathway that leads to that right mind. And part of that pathway is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 10 through 12. 1 Corinthians 13:10, but when that which is perfect, that is your complete truth, is come, then that which is in part, the miraculous power, shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, that's the miraculous powers. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the church is going to put away these spiritual gifts, and we'll be left with these eternal spiritual truths. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, that is when all truth comes, then face to face. How? Well, we'll be able to see clearly as we're looking face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. All right, so Paul wanted to know himself. And he says at this point, before all truth is revealed, he knew in part. So 1 Corinthians does not contain all of the truth. Paul only knew in part when he wrote this book. But there are other books that the Lord gives us, and some very deep books, especially in 1 John. But Paul then says, then I'll know even as also I am known. So Paul wanted to know all about his own mind, his own heart, his own soul. And so that's a very interesting subject. And it's one that we ought to be inclined to look at more and more so we can see ourselves as God sees us. So then Paul says, then I'll know even as also I'm known. Well, God's the one that knows him. And if Paul knows himself like God knows him, he sees himself as he truly is. It's a good exercise, and that's another place where we need to be exercising our minds so that we'll know our own heart, our own mind, our own soul. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 16, we're still dealing with renewing our minds. 1 Corinthians 2:16, before we exercise, we need to know the condition that we're in. And this gives us a starting point and helps us to see where we can grow. So Paul then was looking for what he was. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, so when he says, I need to grow, I need to get the mind of Christ, I need to set my mind on things above, he includes himself in Colossians. But he also says he's already got the mind of Christ. And this, of course, is the new. And this is what we get in repentance. Jesus' mind was, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I am not alone, but I and my Father. So Jesus then had this mind to do his Father's will and obey every command completely. Well, Paul had that kind of mind too, and the Corinthians had that kind of mind. They weren't full grown in heart by any means, but they did have the mind to do the will of God, and that's why the Lord wrote this book, so they could know what is the will of God. Romans, the 7th chapter, and verse 25. Here is Paul's mind, and that is to sever God's law like Christ's mind. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we're looking at God's law here. With my mind, I serve the law of God. So he had that right mind, but his heart was not right because his flesh was serving the law of sin. So if we renew our mind, then we're determining over and over again that we are going to obey every command of God. And to do that, we've got to find every command of God. And to do that, we've got to understand every command of God. And to do that, we need to ask God for understanding of his word. So that's a renewing of our mind to continually ask God for understanding more and more. Let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Again, Paul's mind was to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So he was dividing between these two, consciously turning toward one and consciously turning away from the other. Romans 8, 4, that the righteousness of the law, that's the law of Moses, might be fulfilled in us, love your neighbor as yourself, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we then are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, if we're like Paul. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They mind the things of the Spirit. So we can draw these things in. And if we renew our mind to draw these things in, the phronetwo, then, of course, we'll not be thinking about flesh as much. We'll be thinking of Spirit more and more, and less of the flesh. Verse 6, he's arguing with us now and trying to persuade us to turn away from being fleshly minded. For the carnal, to be carnally minded, there's your flesh again, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's peace with God and spiritual life, if we are spiritually minded. So if we're minded according to the flesh, then we will die. So we need to get further and further away from the flesh so we can have that spiritual life. Verse 7, again, he argues, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. So our mind is set on fleshly things, we're God's enemy. For that mind is not subject to the law of God. Why? It's too busy enjoying the flesh. Neither indeed can be. So it cannot be subject to the law of God. So the only way we can be subject to the law of God is to get rid of this fleshly mind. So we need to discern then when we're thinking about physical things and when we're dealing with spiritual things. And we need to consciously turn away. Now, most of the stories that we tell are of the flesh, material things, and really don't have much to do with the spiritual things. So we should have a mind to renew ourselves to determine to turn more and more away from these things that are fleshly and more toward things that are spiritual. So verse 8, the conclusion, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way. So we need to get further and further away from the things that don't please God. And we need to talk about spiritual things. In verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But there's a condition now. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. All right. The Spirit of God, of course, is the men understand that as the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God is the mind that he gives us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We need to have the mind of Christ. So if we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, we will be thinking about spiritual things. Why? What did Jesus think about? And when they tried to get his attention to the temple, what did he say? These things are going to be all burned up. Let's talk about something eternal. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we read this a little while ago. And we need to renew our minds in understanding this also. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why? Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So when we're able to think about everything in a spiritual light and not in a physical light, then we will be able to discern these spiritual things. But what does the world do? They're not interested in discerning the eternal. They're quite happy with the material, and they enjoy these stories about the material and the things of material. John, the 8th chapter, verse 23. John 8 and verse 23, the people of Jesus' day were men of the flesh. They were not men of the Spirit. And he said unto them, verse 23, you are from beneath, that is the earth. I am from above, heaven. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Well, Jesus was walking around in this world, but where was his mind? His mind was on spiritual things, not things of this world. So we need to follow Christ in this way also. And of course, are we going to get along well with the people of the world if we do these things? Well, they won't listen to us at all. So we'll have to tell these earthly stories if we're going to entertain these people here on earth. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 1. We read it again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So then who do we need to be around if we have our mind set on things above? We won't even be able to talk to people who are members of the body whose minds are set on earthly things. We'll have to find spiritually minded people. And we don't find very many of those that have time to talk with us. But nevertheless, we do need to find that kind of people. In Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection, that's your phroneo, your mind, on things above, not on things of the earth. And if we do that, we won't be talking much about these earthly things anymore. But it takes time to grow. We can't do it overnight. Nevertheless, we need to renew our mind so that we're on that pathway till one day we can be fully spiritually minded like Christ. Philippians, the second chapter and verse 20. Timothy had the right kind of mind that Paul had, and that was the mind of Christ. He wanted to do all of God's will. He wanted to think about things eternal. Verse 20, Philippians 2. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Why? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. So what was Timothy seeking? He was seeking their state, their good. He had his mind set on the things that belong to Jesus Christ. So to have the mind of Christ is to be minded to live for the Father's work and that work only. And again, we can't turn that way overnight, but we can walk toward that way and form our hearts more and more to have that mind at all times. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 11. So first, the Lord wants us to be careful not to walk the wrong way. To follow the ways of the world is the wrong way. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. There's your wisdom of men. Literally, philo is, or philos is love, and sophia is wisdom. Let them not spoil you through love of wisdom and vain deceit. After the tradition of men. So this love of wisdom is love of man's wisdom, material wisdom. And he says, don't walk after the rudiments of the world, but walk after Christ. So the rudiments are the word principle here. We don't want to walk after the principles of the world. That's why we get a university degree. So verse 9, and we do quite often get a university degree or some education so that we can earn a living, and that of course is also the will of God. But we should spend our time when we're not working for somebody in these spiritual ways. So in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, so everything of the Godhead dwells in Christ. So do we need anything outside of Christ? And then he says, you are complete in him. And of course, that's how we become complete in him. Even though this is past tense, it's a principle he's talking about, not a commandment. It's a fact that we are complete in Christ. We cannot be complete in the principles or the rudiments of the world. And Christ is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of everything here on earth. So I know the religious books generally quote other men and instead of the scriptures. And of course, we should listen to the Lord and we should have our mind set on spiritual truth spoken in words which the all-wise God speaks and not words which men speak. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 8 through 10, Jesus is the one religious authority. Matthew 23, verse 8, but be ye not called rabbi, For one is your master, and that rabbi is like teacher, even Christ, and you are all brethren. So as far as a brother is concerned, we don't need to treat any brethren above ourselves. We are all brethren. We're working together. Sometimes someone will have more faith than others. We can help each other. But as far as the direction is concerned, we don't get our direction from men. If we get our direction through one of God's children who are more spiritually minded than we are, we must listen to what he says from the word of God and understand the word of God, not his words. So don't be called rabbi, for one is your master. We don't listen to anybody else. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. We only listen to our father through Christ. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So don't follow a master and don't let anybody call you a master. So our faith should never be founded on the word of men. It should always be founded only in the word of God. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. This was a principle in the Old Testament that was prophesied in the Old Testament. So we're reminded that Christ is that one authority. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God is the one doing all these things. So the government is on his shoulder. We listen to his rules, his commands. He's our counselor. We need to listen to his counsel and not man's. And we need to listen to his peace and not the world's peace. So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, it's true we are in this world. And someone says, do we go around with our eyes closed? And of course, we have to deal in material things, especially when we're earning a living so we can feed our families. 1 Corinthians 7, 31, they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. So we can use this world. Jesus used this world. Even in his miracles, he used this world, but he did not abuse this world. And if we use this world in the wrong way, we're abusing it. If we use it to serve God and to serve God's children, then we're using it in the right way and not abusing it. So this world and the fashion of it is passing away. So we use the things to serve God and we don't enjoy them for themselves. We can eat and drink for strength to the Lord's work and see good in all of our labor. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 3. And we're reminded that verses 1 and 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. And then he says, the reason for this is you are dead. We've been crucified with Christ. And now we've been born from the dead, and our life now that we have born from the dead is hidden with Christ in God. So God's the one that is protecting us and keeping us from evil, from being tempted above what we're able. So we need to remember that we died to these things of the world. So if we've died to these things of the world, how can we live to these things in the world? No, we need to continue to be dead to these things in the world, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Our mind, our heart is set on eternal things above. So Galatians, the 6th chapter, and verse 14, Paul says this in a little different way. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So is there anything alive there between God and, between Paul and the world? He's crucified. That says he's dead, painful death. to the world. And the world is dead to Paul. He's not listening to the world at all. It's a painful thing. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 3, Romans 6, verse 3, we are dead to this world because we've been crucified with Christ, in verse 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So we're being buried with him after we've been crucified. The world is crucified to us. Now we have the mind that we're not going to live for self, but live for the world. And so we're baptized into his death. So like as Christ died physically, we die spiritually. So Romans 6, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And that is literally made righteous from sin. Why? Because we have the new mind. The old man, the old mind is crucified. Then we get a new mind from Christ, sorry, from God. And he's the one then that gives us this new mind of Christ. Verse 8, conclusion. Now, if we are dead with Christ, and he says they are, we believe that we shall also live with him in the spiritual world, not just in the next life, but we live with him here in this world in the spiritual realm, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Okay, then Christ doesn't die anymore. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he lives unto God. He says, likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. All right, Christ is dead and he dies no more. Well, if we're dead to sin, we don't need to die the second time to sin. But we sin will no longer have dominion over us. And as long as we have that new mind that we will do all the will of God and only the will of God, then sin does not have dominion over us. Then it's time to form the heart so we can control the body. Verse 10, in that he died unto sin once. That's what happens when we're crucified with Christ. But in that he lives unto God. So when we are born from the dead, we have a mind to do the will of God and only the will of God. So we're living unto God only. So we're alive to God, verse 11, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're alive to him because God listens to us. If he didn't listen to us, we would not be alive. But with this new mind that he gives us, we are alive to do his will. He will work with us. All right, Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. We've been raised in baptism to sit in heavenly places. And that's, of course, spiritual places, not physical. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, Ephesians 2, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and he does, even when we were dead in sin, we had the mind to seek God to please him. He's made us alive together with Christ. That's that word quicken. He's made us alive together with Christ. How has he made us alive? He's made us alive by giving birth to us through Christ. And that's by his favor. And does he favor everybody to give birth to everybody? Or does he favor those who are seeking him and who understand? Remember, the eyes of the Lord are looking throughout the earth for those that understand and seek him. When we're seeking him, that pleases us. Then he gives us the new mind, so we're alive to God. And we're saved from that old man, that old mind. Verse 6, he's raised us up together. And that is with other of his children, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's spiritual. And that's why our minds need to be like the place that we're in. Christ is in spiritual places. Our heart and mind is with Christ. They're in spiritual places. True, our bodies on earth, but we're not walking by the flesh. We're walking by the Spirit. So verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, so we'll see even more favor, in his kindness, that's what he plans to show toward us through Christ Jesus. So even in eternity, everything will come through Christ. But the Father will do these things for us through Christ. So we should not do what comes naturally, but consciously renew our minds to think about things above. So now we're in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. First time we sinned, we died. So we continued to sin. We were dead in trespasses and sin. God was not working with us. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. We were just like everybody else. According to the prince of the power of the air. There's your devil. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So he's still working and blinding these men till they're doing all these vanities and sin. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's how we started out. And then in verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he's made us alive together with Christ. That's by his favor. So anyone that seeks God and understands is favored by God. God will work with him, and that means that we're alive to God. All right, let's go back to Colossians, the third chapter, and start at verse 5 this time. And you'll notice we're bumping back between Ephesians and Colossians. These are lessons for stronger members of the body. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. So there's our mind. We're going to mortify, which, of course, if you're in a morgue, you're with mortified people. They're dead. So we mortify, kill our members which are upon the earth. And these members are the ones that are very much alive to enjoying the world and the things of the world. And then he mentioned some of these things that are a joy to the flesh. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's wrong affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So these are the things that the world loves. Turn the internet on and what do you get? These are the things you get, evil things, things that are not tuned to serving God. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So God's working with these people, trying to get them to turn from these evil ways, but his people do have a mind to turn away from these evil things. And so we need to put these things to death. That should be our mind. It's a daily taking up our cross and killing these things, crucifying them. Then verse 8, or verse 7, in the which you also sometime walk sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. So here are more things that the world loves that we need to put to death. And that is wrath. There's your orge, that's a soft anger. Malice, that's feeling bad toward anybody. Blasphemy, that's speaking evil of anybody. Filthy communication out of your mouth, don't tell these bad jokes or any other evil. Don't lie to each other. Why? Because you put off the old man. And the old man is the one that did what he wanted to do and served himself, so he was willing to lie. But we put off that now. So that we need to speak truth with one another. And we put off the old man with his deeds. So now we have that new mind. We need to renew it. Ephesians 4, 22, he gives the same direction, a little different words. Ephesians 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Well, we put off the old mind. And he tells us now we need to put off concerning the former behavior. And the old man used to work one way. And of course, do we change overnight? Or does it take time to put these habits of the old man to death or to put them off? And these habits of the old man are corrupt according to deceitful lust. We still like these things. We still sometimes love these things. But should we ever tell somebody, hey, I really love ice cream. And of course, we shouldn't. And we shouldn't tell anybody that we love anything material like that. We should love the eternal things. And so when we tell someone, I really love these things of the world, what are we telling the others to do? We're an evil communication. We'll corrupt. So we should be very careful to learn to love the eternal spiritual things and tell others that we love these spiritual things. God loves righteousness. He loves judgment. He loves purity. He loves honesty. These things we also should love and let others know that we love these things. Then in verse 23, Ephesians 4, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's your context for that renewal of the mind. And we need to renew from the old man, and we need to be thinking about the spirit of our mind, the spiritual things. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man. So we need to grow. These things are going to be in the heart, which after God is created. So God creates the new man. How? By giving us that new mind. Remember Ephesians, 2 Timothy 2:25, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So God is the one that gives that repentance. So back in Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that new man then is righteous. Righteousness is to follow God's laws. And true holiness, we're set apart for God and his work, not for political reasons. And we have many that are fully set apart for political things and power and all that. We need to be set apart for true holiness, which is eternal holiness, the things of God which are eternal. So the new man is created, and we need to then grow that new man, and we do that by renewing the mind. In Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 1, Romans 8 and verse 1, if we serve God with our minds, then as he's described there in chapter 7, verse 25, if we serve God with our minds, then we're not condemned. There is therefore what? Because we, with the mind, we serve God. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But then there are some in Christ who are walking after the flesh. They're condemned. But these people that are not condemned do not walk after the flesh, but they do walk. And they walk after spiritual things. So just being religious does not mean that we're walking after the Spirit. Seeking the things above and renewing our minds is walking after the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, he's trying to encourage them to become alive to God again. And he concludes there in verse 1, having therefore these promises, he'll be a father, we'll be children to him. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That verse is loaded. We have these promises. God be our Father. He'll train us. And they are dearly beloved. God loves them. He loves us. Let us cleanse ourselves. So Paul's including himself here. He needs to get rid of the fear of men, if nothing else. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. So our flesh should never be in any way filthy. And we also have filthiness of the spirit. Anything evil is filthy. We need to cleanse that evil. And we need to be completing that holiness in the fear of God. And that's that Psalms 34, fear of God, where we turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. So Colossians 3, verse 10, we need to set our minds to put on the new man. And we've just seen some of this. Here are some other things we need to put on, which are in the image of Christ. We need to renew our minds to get these things. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it's renewed in knowledge, the new man. So we got to get more and more knowledge. And that knowledge is of what Christ looks like in heart and mind. And we need to be renewed in that image because Christ has created us. So let's go back to Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Again, the new mind manifests itself in a new response to tribulation. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. There's a new mind toward trouble. The world doesn't have that mind, and we won't either unless we understand. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. There's a new mind. Also, knowing that tribulation works patience, right? That's why he's glorying in tribulation, because patience comes by our having tribulation. And then this tribulation then produces patience. And patience then produces experience, and that's the burned out dross, purified. And this burned out dross gives us hope. The more pure our heart is, the more God is pleased with us, the more hope we have of living with him eternally. So to have that knowledge, we must study the New Testament. And it is in the New Testament that we continue to find and understand all the different parts of Christ's heart. And then as we add these things, we need to renew our minds to add more and more. In Ephesians 2:10, we saw that we were his workmanship, created unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, good work is not just helping the poor, but a good work is having compassion on the poor to supply the poor's needs. Teaching somebody is not the work of God, but it's having compassion on those that are lost so that we love the ones that are lost. We love the Lord. We want to obey the Lord. So in submission to God's commands, we teach the gospel to those that are lost. So all of our actions should come from the mind being renewed, which comes from the heart. And so we are his workmanship created. So Colossians 3 and verse 12, Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, that's compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So how are we going to do all those things? How can we put on more compassion? We are chosen of God if we're having that mind. So we can put these things on by understanding what it is to be compassionate and loving the ones that are in need and being willing to obey God to serve those ones that are in need according to his will. So we love one another according to his commandments. We love the people in the world according to his commandments. And we need to have a mind to find more and more of those commandments, especially when it comes to having compassion on those in need. So we need to have a mind then and renew our mind to watch for those that have need. If we go around with our head in the clouds, we'll never see anybody in need. So we'll never be able to have compassion on anybody else. So sometimes somebody is sad, they have a need. Sometimes they don't have food or clothing, they have a need. Sometimes they're trying to understand the scripture, they have a need. Sometimes they're discouraged, they have a need. So we can watch for these people that have these different parts of the heart that need help. We can also be kind to them, which is not as deep as compassion, but nevertheless, we can be kind help somebody who has some kind of need. Maybe they need help carrying a heavy load. So we also need to put on the humble mind, and that is the mind that's fully willing to not consider his own things, but the things of others. And meekness, we're determined we're not going to do anybody any harm at all, no matter what they do to us. Long suffering, we're going to be willing to endure the things that they make us endure that we don't like. But we need to grow in all of these things. And then in verse 14, forbearing one another. And that's enduring one another's evil and weaknesses, or whatever it is that we don't like about the others. We forbear with them and we endure with them. And we forgive the others. We don't hold a grudge against them at any time until we don't think about the evil that they've done against us. We put that out of our minds and refuse to think about it. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's another mind we need to have. So if any man has a quarrel against any, so if I'm having a quarrel with somebody, I need to forbear with them. I need to forgive them, just like Christ forgives me. And so we are dependent on Christ's forgiveness, and without that, we'll never be eternally saved. So we need to do that. Then verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. That is the word agape, which is love, which is the bond that holds all these things together of perfectness. That's perfection. So love holds all these things together. And that is why love is comprised of all these good things. And that's why God is love, because he is comprised of all these good things. And then verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called. So we're called to be at peace with all men, as much as lies within us. And we're called to be at peace with God. And God's peace is not like the world gives. And if that peace rules in our hearts, then we're seeking constantly to pursue peace with God, which is the fear of the Lord. And then he says, you're called in one body, be thankful. So this is what we are called to have. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So there's our mind again. We need to have the word of God dwelling in us richly in all wisdom. So what do we seek? We need a mind that's renewed over and over to seek all wisdom. So we can pray for all knowledge, all spiritual understanding, all wisdom, all righteousness, all patience. Well, we might need to be careful about that last one. But we can pray the Lord for all these things, and that's the mind that we need to have being renewed constantly. All right, I think our time is gone, so we'll stop here.